Hello, very good evening to you all. And I'm thankful for your prayer and support, especially Pastor Wen, as he mentioned that he's putting more effort to contact and to find more Urdu speakers here. And so I'm thankful for the opportunities. Last Sunday, God gave me opportunity to speak in an Urdu church in Lakamba. So praise the Lord, that's answer your efforts and prayers. So that was wonderful to make connection and have a good relation among the our community. So thank the Lord for the all connection he provided and the opportunities he's providing me. So let's open your Bible for your guidance and blessing. How many of you have hard copy of Bible? Great. Last Sunday when I was there in Lakamba Urdu Church, that was a bit disappointing. Mostly people, they have digital Bible. And I encourage them to have your personal Bible, because this is personal relationship with God. So why don't we have personal Bible? So that was encouragement for all of us to have personal Bible to read His Word and grow in the Lord. So open your Bible, Romans chapter 12. We'll start from verse 16 through 15, 25. Paul is teaching us the parable of two olive trees. Let's start. Chapter 11, verse 16 through 25. If the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them because a partaker of root and fatness of the olive tree. We'll read it further, but before understand what is the olive tree and what Paul is trying to teach us here, we have to understand from the first verse. And one another verse I want to read for Jeremiah chapter 11 verse 16. It says, the Lord called your name green olive tree, lovely and good fruit. But the noise of great trouble, he has kindled fire on it, and its branches are broken. Jeremiah is telling that people of Israel, God called them green olive. That is symbol. Olive tree is a symbol of peace. But the verses we read, that doesn't say it's peace there. It's something different. And another symbol is Israel. So Paul is teaching us. We heard in the gospel, four gospel parable of Jesus Christ. But Paul is teaching here through a parable of two olive trees. Jeremiah, he's not telling us how many branches, all the whole tree was broken. And Jeremiah, he's telling first part of the story about the olive tree. And Paul, he's telling the rest of story Jeremiah is not telling what happened after the branches were broken off, but Paul, he is telling some of the branches, he's telling some of the branches were, this is not olive tree, but I try to illustrate and show it to you. Paul is saying some of the branches were broken off, not all the branches. Some of the branches were broken off, and he's talking, there is another tree which is called wild olive. And wild olive, he's talking with the wild olive. And Paul is telling us, these wild branches are grafted in the natural olive. As these branches are not originally part of the natural olive tree, but he is telling the replacement of the broken branches. Though he is talking with these wild branches, though you are grafted in the natural olive, which is showing Gentiles here, though natural olive trees representing her Bani Israel, Israelites, but wild olive is presenting you and me, the all Gentiles. And beauty of how God beautifully grafted these wild branches in the natural olive branches. Now, these wild olive branches are nourishing and growing like the natural branches. This is beautifully God has grafted these branches in the natural branches. The olive tree represents the covenant and promise to Israel, nourishing from its holy root, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And when we read it further, it says, verse 18 through 22, do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith, do not haughty, but fear. For God did not spare the natural branches. He may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity but towards you, goodness if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you'll also be cut off. There's red signal for the grafted branches, for the wild olive branches. Paul warns us, as we read the further passage till 25, Paul warns three times. Alongside three warnings, don't be boast, don't be arrogant. Paul is talking with the grafted branches. He's talking to you, he's talking to me. All the Gentiles, those who are grafted, those who are in the covenant of God, which was made with the Israelites. There's red signal. Be careful. Don't think you are the special branches. Don't think you look beautiful. Don't think your fruit is so delicious. Don't think you are The best branch is then the broken one. Don't be boosted. And Paul is telling the reason why the branches were broken off, because of their unbelief. From the Israelites, those who reject Jesus Christ, those who reject Jesus Christ as a Messiah, they were broken off. Be careful. He's telling the reason. Be careful because God didn't spare the natural branches. So think about yourself. If He didn't spare the natural branches, if He didn't spare the people whom He made a covenant and promise, that was eternal covenant and promise. They were broken off because they reject Jesus Christ. They were broken off because they didn't accept Jesus Christ as a Messiah. So they face God's severity. And goodness for you, that is God's grace for you, though you are not deserving to be a part of natural branches. But it's God's mercy for you, upon you. He gave you a chance to be grafted. So don't be boosted. Don't think you are a special one. Don't think He has chosen you. He gave you a chance because of your good deeds. No, not at all. That's God's goodness to you. That's God's grace to you, to me, entire world. That He gave chance to other people, to Gentile, to be grafted in the covenant which He made with the Israelites. To be a part of the promises which He made with Israel. Be careful. You were grafted not because of your good deeds. There's only one reason God accepted you and grafted you in the natural olive tree. And that is belief in Christ. That is your faith in Christ. Accept this. There's nothing. Only reason He accepts you, He gives you a chance to be grafted and nourished like natural olive tree, olive branches. That is your faith. And they were rejected, they were broken off because of their unbelief in Christ. Israel, they were so proud to be a natural descendant of Abraham. Paul is telling God didn't spare them. So be careful. Consider that goodness and severity of God. Goodness to you, goodness to me. He gave us opportunity to be a part of His covenant, to be a part of His promises. Though you are grafted by your faith in Christ, but you have to continue to stay there with fear of God. In every area of your life, you have to have fear of God. This is the key to continue to stay on your place or in the olive, natural olive tree. parable of two olive trees in Romans chapter 11. This is actually an explanation of Jesus Christ's parable. According to Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 through 14, the parable of wedding feast. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parable and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servant to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out his servant saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one of his farms, another to his business, and the rest seized his servant, treated them spitefully and killed them. But the king heard about it. He was furious and he sent out his armies, destroyed the murderers and burnt up their city." In this parable, the invited people presenting Israel with God, he made covenant with them, and they are invited. They are people of promise and the people of covenant. And they were invited. When they refuse, when they refuse royal invitation, when they take it very light, they don't bother it, who's inviting them? Second time, king sent his servants and he said, "Tell them, those who are invited, everything is ready. Food is ready, tables are ready, and all the decoration and necessity things are ready. Just we are waiting for you." They don't bother it. They went their ways. They thought, "Oh, I don't care. Who's calling me? I'll do what I want to do. I'll do my business." And it's written, they went to his business, and whatever they were doing, they preferred to do that. They ignored royal invitation. And moreover, when second time king, he sent his servant to call the invited people, they didn't. "No, I have my own business. I want to do my own work." What if king is inviting me? He wants me to come. I don't have time. And moreover, they seized his servant, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Then the king, he was angry. Then there's another turn in the parable from verse 8 through 14. Then he said to the servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go to highways and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they find, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with the guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you came in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hands and feet. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." In the second part, there was a question in my mind when I was preparing and studying this passage. Second time, after king's revenge with the people, those who were invited, he sent his servants. "Everything is ready, but we don't have guests." He said, "Okay, go on the roads, go in the streets, whosoever you find, invite them and bring them. And you and me are the people from the roads. Invited are Israelites. And you and me, the Gentiles, are people from the roads, from the way, from the streets. They came. That was really privilege for them to go see the palace and the royal family. As they were not deserving, they were not invited. But that's king's grace towards the people, those who were not deserving, to come sit with the royal family. What a privilege it is for the Gentile, for you and for me." But there was a question in my mind. Isn't it look like it's unfair with the person whom king punished? Instead of saying, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" King should say, "Friend, I'm really thankful to you. You came over." What do you think? Isn't it look like it's unfair with the person who faced his punishment? One thing, he honored king by accepting the invitation. And second, he helped king to save his food, whatever he prepared for the guests. I was thinking how unthankful king is. His attitude is unthankful, it looks like. He said, "Friend," he talked very politely, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment. Instead of question, it should thank you, you came here. What do you think? Yes, it looks like that. But it's not unfair. Really? How's that? King, he knew that when invited one, they reject his invitation. He sent his servant to call the people, whoever they find on the road, on the way. And king prepared wedding dress for them. Those who were invited from those who came from the roads, he knew that they are not well prepared to come to attend the wedding. So the king, he provided dresses to them. But the person who faced hardship from the king, he rejected to receive that dress. He didn't receive the wedding garment that was provided by king. Because we see in the Bible, whenever someone is presented in the front of king, and whenever someone is going to see king, there are some formalities. Even though nowadays, when from the public someone have meeting with the high authorities, like Queen Elizabeth, if someone have meeting or want to see him, the royal servants, they must prepare the person to see the royal family, royal authorities. Sometimes they give them good garments. Sometimes they give them gloves to see or shake hands with the royal authorities. Why? There is certain kind of preparation to see king. Esther, when she was going to present to the king, for many days she was prepared to go in front of king. When Nebuchadnezzar king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were going to stand in front of king, king said, no, they can't come to see me. I want the people, those who looks very pretty, fresh and healthy. So he said, the people, those who are going to be ready to come and stand in the palace in front of me, in my presence, I ordered, give them royal food for 3 years. So that they look very fresh, so that they look very healthy, and I don't want any person who looks unhealthy or ugly. There are certain kind of preparation whenever someone has to see or go to see high authorities. And good thing is here, they have chance to go in the palace and enjoy king's son's wedding. And king, he prepared dress for them because he knew they are coming from the way, they are not ready. So he arranged wedding dress for them. Wedding dress is special. Even today, whenever you and me, we have to go attend a wedding. We have special dress. Fancy, we decide fancy dress to wear. We don't go with the shorts. We don't go the ordinary dresses which we wear every day. Special preparation for the wedding. So the king, he was in the position to present them and prepare dresses for them. So he did. But the person, the man, he refused to have that dress. This is the reason when king asked him, how did you come to attend the wedding without wedding dress? And it's written, so he was speechless. The reason, because king provided him, offered him a dress, he said, no, whatever I have, I'm wearing, I'm okay with that. I don't need the dress from the king. I'm okay what I'm doing. I'm okay what I'm wearing. And he, sure, when he said, no, I don't need the dress from king. I'm okay whatever I'm wearing, what I'm doing. That showed his self-righteousness. Can someone help me to read Philippians 3:9? Righteousness which is from God by faith. He rejects that righteousness, that dress of righteousness that God, that the king provided him. No, what I'm doing, that's okay. Many times we say, no, what I'm doing, that's good. My good deeds can't save me. Our good deeds, our good works can't save us. God's judgment will come upon who reject his offer of salvation. So, what we should say, has God cast away his people? Come back. In our main passage in Romans chapter 11, what we should say, God has cast away his people with whom he has eternal covenant. He said, Abraham, get up and go to the land which I'll show to you. Leave your friends and relatives. For my sake. Because I will come along with you. My hand will be on you. I'll bless you forevermore. But it looks like God, he forgot his promise. He's not keeping his promise. When he break off the branches of natural olive. But that's not true. He didn't cast away his beloved one, people of Israel, because he made eternal covenant with them. Verse 23 through 25. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their olive tree, their own olive tree? There is a way for them to come back. God, He never forget whatever He said. His promises are eternal, forever, with His people. Paul is saying there is way for them to come back. And God can graft them back who cut off them. The branches are broken off, that's true, but that's not forever. There is way for them. If they believe in Christ, if they believe that Jesus is Messiah, they can come back. The doors are open for them. They can come back, but there is a condition. If they believe. Punishment to these branches, to the natural olive branches, they're broken off. That showed God's judgment. That showed He's sitting on the throne of justice. That showed His justice. The wages of sin is whosoever do not believe in Christ, he's living in sin. So if they don't believe, if they don't trust in Christ, they must have to face God's judgment. And the restoration of the broken branches, that showed God, He keeps His promises. Praise the Lord. You are grafted by faith. That's God's goodness to you. And God's severity to the broken branches. Be careful. He's warning you and me again and again. Be careful. Don't be boosted. Don't be arrogant. He didn't spare the natural branches. And He will not spare you if you leave Him. And Paul is telling the duration, how long these broken branches will remain broken. Verse 25 says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of His mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile has come in." That's God's plan for the entire world, not only for the Israel, but all the Gentiles. He never For he never forgot his promises. He never break his covenant. Though it looks like the broken covenant, but it's not. Because his covenant with the Israelite, that's eternal, that's forever. He never forget. He keep his promises. He tell the duration how long they will remain broken until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That's God's plan for all Gentiles, for Israel. Though they don't believe Jesus Christ is their Messiah, they rejected him. They ignored the royal invitation. And God turned their back to them. They face God's judgment. And that's not forever. This is likewise when a mother, she cooked food for her child. And food is ready and she want to feed the child. And child is saying, no, I don't want to eat. What mother she does? Okay, you don't want to eat. I'm going to give this food to the other one. And when the child, what she did? She get jealous. No, 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 that's for me. I want this. Paul is telling God is doing likewise. Invited were Israelites. Food and banquet was ready for them. When they rejected God, Jesus Christ, God said, God want to open their eyes. That's why he said, okay, you don't want, I'm going this to Gentile. He turned to Gentile, that his eternal plan. That plan was in the beginning. How beautifully he planned to save entire world. Entire Gentile until the fullness of Gentile has come in. That's God's plan for you. And that's really a privilege to be a part of natural branches of olive tree. That's really privilege for you and me to be a part of his eternal covenant and his promises. Close your eye and let's pray. Think about yourself. Are you grafted in the tree? The tree of covenant and God's promise. What is your response to the royal invitation? If you believe in Christ, there is warning for the church. There is warning for you and for me. There is red signal for you. Paul is saying, be careful. He did not spare the people whom he chose. He will not spare you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the plan of salvation for me and for the entire world. And it's really a great privilege for me and for the church. Though we were not deserving to come before you, we were not deserving to be a part of your eternal salvation and your eternal covenant, but thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness. Thank you, you loved us. And there are doors open for many people, those who rejected Jesus Christ, those who didn't accept Him as their personal Lord and Savior. And thank you, you never leave your people. You always keep your promises. Thank you for the way of salvation, the doors of salvation you open through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.